I've selected a sermon for this morning from the archive of the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr., who was Metropolitan of the Anglican Catholic Church at the end of the millennium. He gave this sermon in November of 1997 for the Sunday next before Advent. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Because he is the only president from Pennsylvania, I have a certain interest in the life of James Buchanan. Buchanan was president from 1857 to 1861, the run-up to the war between the states. The only memorable one-liner attributed to him is what he said when Abraham Lincoln was elected to be his successor. Buchanan remarked, "I am the last president of the United States." I bring Buchanan up because what lies behind this morning's Old Testament lesson, the epistle, is the specter of the division of a once united nation into two. Israel divided when King Solomon died about 1,000 years before Christ. Solomon achieved a great deal during his own lifetime, but he did not have an obvious and competent successor who could hold his work together and carry it forward. Solomon's son and heir, Rehoboam, enraged the northern tribes after his father's death, so they formed a separate alliance and selected another king. The northern kingdom became known as Israel and had its capital at Samaria. The southern tribes made their capital at Jerusalem and were known as the Kingdom of Judah. When the Assyrians conquered Israel in the late 700s BC, the alienation became even deeper. The prophet Jeremiah lived about 100 years later in the 600s BC. In Jeremiah's time, the main threat to peace in the Middle East came from Babylon. Some things never change. Jeremiah warned the people of Judah that if they didn't go back to worshiping God properly and obeying his laws, the Babylonians would come in and overrun them. Jeremiah turned out to be exactly right, which did not help his popularity at all. In any event, along with his prophecies of doom, Jeremiah preached that in the long run, God's purposes would prevail. Splitting the nation and then being conquered and carried off into captivity and scattered into exile throughout the world had brought disgrace upon God's people, but that disgrace was not going to last forever. Through Jeremiah and some of the other prophets, God promised his people that someday he would send them a proper king who would straighten everything out. The new monarch was not going to be another Solomon, even though Solomon was arguably Israel's most successful king. The new king was going to be a second David. Jeremiah tells us this morning, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch." The new king was going to be a branch of David's family tree, a rod or root of Jesse, David's father. It shouldn't be too difficult to figure out why the New Testament writers go to such lengths to show that Jesus is a descendant of David and that he was born in Bethlehem, royal David's city. We believe Jesus is the king Jeremiah and the other Hebrew prophets promise. That is what we mean when we call him Christ. Jesus comes to us not only as a Jew himself, but also as the fulfillment of promises which were made first to all Jews, God's chosen people. God is kind enough to share King David with us Gentiles, but how and why he does that is a story for a different season. Jeremiah says that when the branch finally comes, it will accomplish something mighty and dramatic. Remember, the Bible mainly describes God not as a collection of abstract characteristics, but as a person who does things. The Hebrew people identified their God as the one who led them out of slavery into Egypt. The Exodus was the clearest evidence that God acts in history to save his people. Jeremiah says that what the branch will do will be so great that it will make people forget all about the Exodus. Jeremiah says the branch is going to bring all of God's people back to their own land. They will not be divided anymore. They will not be scattered to the four winds anymore. And when the branch gathers his people together, he will reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. My guess is that Jeremiah believed that that promise would come true within history, that a king would arise who would literally bring all of the Hebrew people back to the promised land of Israel and establish them in an earthly kingdom. We believe God's promise about the branch is fulfilled in this world in the church, where Jesus gathers all of God's people together in one body, and finally in heaven, the real promised land. That doesn't mean we have to think Jeremiah was wrong. We have the grace to see that God's promises are deeper and broader than Jeremiah could have imagined. In this morning's gospel lesson, Jesus feeds 5,000 people with only a little fish and bread. When the people are done eating, he tells his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." The leftovers filled 12 baskets. There were 12 tribes in Israel and Judah. So the crowd saw that Jesus is not only a miracle worker, but also someone who gathers to be sure that nothing is lost. It is not much of a stretch to believe that they were also thinking of Jeremiah's branch as they looked at Jesus and said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed, as is most justly due, all might, majesty, power, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.